Second scripture reading comes from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5, and we like to read the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians 5, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such a fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done so the deed, done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, nor with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for them must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, but such an one know not to eat. For what have you to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Thus far the readings.
Congregation, our text for this morning, hour on which we want to meditate shortly, is from Exodus 12, verse 8 from Exodus 12, where we read the word of God in our text. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Text speaks about the Passover meal. And we think about the meaning of that meal and the use of that meal. The Passover meal, the meaning of that meal and the use of that meal. Last week in preparation upon the Holy Supper, we spoke about the Passover, about the lamb. I think you remember, boys and girls, that that lamb had to be slaughtered and the blood had to be applied to the doorposts. And the Lord proclaimed, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And so in that terrible judgment, firstborn of man and beast among Israel were spared. It was a Passover. The Lord spared their lives. The Lord went by, although they were guilty, but spared them because of the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorpost. Without shedding of blood, no remission of sin. Only the blood made that angel of destruction pass by. even though the house would be locked, the door closely locked, even though the people would be penitent, or crying, praying, or begging, if the blood was lacking, oh, the angel of destruction would come in. The lamb was needed. That's what we saw in the preparation. And then after the blood of the lamb was shed and applied to the doorposts, then we now take a look into the houses of the Israelites. And their congregation, we see their safety. And we see their surety behind the blood on the doorposts. And we see them using the meal of the Passover in their houses. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So the meal of the Passover consisted of the flesh of that lamb, that slaughtered paschal lamb. And it had to be roasted on the fire, and they had to eat it in that special night of the Passover. And again, we need the New Testament looking for the significance of this meal of the Passover. Therefore, we read from 1 Corinthians 5, and when you look at verse 7, there the apostle says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So Christ is that true paschal lamb. He's the fulfillment of the type, the true and real lamb of God, like we also saw Wednesday evening from the Gospel of John. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Lord Jesus Christ, He gave Himself to be that true Lamb of God. He emerged from eternity to be that pure, that innocent, that perfect Lamb of God. And He was slaughtered. He was oppressed, afflicted, wounded, chastised, scourged. The prophet says, "He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And so through the blood of Christ, Acts 20 verse 20 says, through God's own blood, God obtained, purchased a people unto Himself. Your own blood. If God blessed you with children, children are your own blood. And so God, through His own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, as that slaughtered lamb, purchased the church in order to save sinners. And then we read that that paschal lamb provided by God had to be roasted with fire. And fire makes us to think of the wrath of God against sin. God is a sin-hating God. And Christ had to suffer that wrath of God against sin. That burden He had to bear. Likewise, that paschal lamb was roasted in the fire. Even so, God's own Son gave Himself in that holy fire of the wrath of God against sin. And very explicit, it is repeated in the next verse, eat it, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. So in that institution of Passover congregation, not only death had to do its work, but also fire had to do its work. The lamb not only had to die, but the lamb also had to be roasted. The Lord Jesus Christ had to go through that fire of God's judgment in order to obtain a full salvation. What a picture of Christ is here before us. And Holy Supper also shows us that picture of Christ. Christ going through death. Christ going through that holy fire. And the bread is broken. And then the wine is poured out. That remembers us of the Lord Jesus saying, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And our hearts, our minds, our eyes, all that is within us should be focused on Him, on His bitter suffering, on the death of this dear and precious Savior. We should focus on the price, on the sacrifice He fulfilled to save a guilty people. And then they used the meal. After the lamb was slaughtered and roasted in the fire, then they used the meal. The lamb had to be eaten. And the Lord instructed through Moses how the people of Israel had to eat it. Exactly, it was stipulated by whom and when and how that meal of the Passover had to take place. Only the Israelites were allowed to eat of the Paschal lamb. The closing verses of this chapter explain unto us, not a stranger, not a hired servant was allowed to eat from that Paschal lamb. If they did have a desire to partake in the meal, then they first had to be circumcised. And the reason, therefore, is it's the Lord's Passover. It's meant for the Lord's people. And even so, congregation, the Holy Supper is meant for God's people. And like with the meal of the Passover, you need a divine right to use the Holy Supper. You have to be a true Israelite, a newborn in Zion, to be a partaker of the Holy Supper. More than a church rite only is needed. Christ instituted this sacrament for those who have a need for a Savior, who are taught by the Holy Spirit about their sins and their miseries, who came to know themselves and who hunger and thirst after a way of salvation, after a righteousness which is better than their own righteousness. Is there a need for Christ in our heart? Is there a need, congregation, for that great physician? Because we know and we feel the terrible disease of our heart, of our life, the disease of our own nature. The Lord not only instructed Moses by whom, but also how the meal had to be used. And they shall eat it, the flesh, in that night. That's also striking. In that night. And oh, what a night it was. How special for the boys and girls in Israel. They didn't go to bed that night. And in the middle of the night, they were around the table. At such an unusual hour. And they were standing there in their parents' family around the table. Darkness outside. That angel of judgment went through Egypt. And they were in their houses behind the blood applied on the doorposts. And in that night of judgment, in that night of destruction, where the angel with that deadly sword made his way through Egypt in that same night. They were eating the meal of the Passover in peace, in quietness, in unity, in love, only because of the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of their houses. In that night. Congregation, that makes us to think of the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed. In that night he took the bread and he spoke these striking words, "Take, eat, this is my body." In that night of agony, in that night of betrayal, in that night in which he gave himself, in that night in which he knew that he had to go through that fire of God's judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to be the Lamb, Passover Lamb. And the Israelites, using that Passover meal, they tasted that the Lamb was roasted. And even so, faith, the mouth of faith, will taste that special flavor of Christ when the bread is broken and when the wine is poured out in the cup and when we drink from the wine, the mouth of faith will taste that love of Christ, that he is that roasted Paschal Lamb. Oh, we should have a desire, congregation, for a taste by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave himself in our stead, where otherwise we had to suffer eternal death. They had to eat it with unleavened bread. Bread without leaven. And we hope to think on that, Lord willing, this evening, even further. But leaven is in Scripture a symbol of sin and evil. And all leaven, all sin, all evil, all uncleanness had to be taken out. Because you cannot have communion with sin and with evil on the one hand, and on the other hand, eat that lamb and taste that lamb. That cannot go together in any way. Oh, the Holy Supper, the table of the Holy Supper will be open for sinners, sure. But sinners who repented, sinners who have a sorrow because of sin, a sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of, that godly sorrow. They struggle with the lust of the flesh, and they desire to be holy and to fully belong unto Him. And the Passover meal was used, so says our text, with bitter herbs. Those bitter herbs were for Israel a remembrance of the oppression in Egypt, the oppression of their slavery by Pharaoh and the taskmasters. Oh, without bitter herbs, the lamb could not be eaten. And that's also an application for us this morning, congregation, when we have the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper also must be eaten with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs of repentance and sorrow of sin. Like Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 10, that we cannot have fellowship with His sufferings without remembering what made Him suffer, namely our sins. And how bitter are our sins when we see and understand that my sins were the nails piercing through the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then sin becomes so abominable when we learn to know our sins in the sight of the suffering and the humiliation of Christ. That rather than it go unpunished, He was punished, same in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then that remarkable fact, the herbs, those bitter herbs, made the lamb even more tasty. Without the herbs, the lamb would not be tasty. Oh, when sin is bitter, then Jesus is sweet for your soul. Then Christ is precious. Bitterness of the herbs gave that precious taste to that roasted paschal lamb. Bitter sorrow of sin is a remaining element in the life of faith. There remains that mourning over sin. And we look back and we have to think about who we were before God and man, then we see so many days that we went astray. Days full of shortcomings. And our sins will be bitter unto us. Especially when our eyes, the eye of faith, will be sharpened by the Holy Spirit to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we see Him wounded in our stead. Our sins nailing Him to the cross of Calvary. Christ wounded for our transgressions. He bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Oh, what a taste of that Lamb of God. And then we find a fullness and a joy in that paschal lamb. We learn also from this chapter, congregation, in verse 10, that he had to eat the whole lamb. The whole lamb, not just a part of it. The whole lamb had to be eaten. And that makes us to think about of that communion with Christ by faith. That the whole Christ is needed. That in Him there is that full redemption. That He accomplished that saving work. Oh, what a precious truth. How suitable is Christ. The whole Christ. That we need Him for our justification, for our sanctification. That He is that only rock of our salvation. None but Him. And we find our comfort in that Lamb of God. And verse 11, they had to eat it with girded loins and a staff in their hands. They even had to eat it in haste. It was the Lord's Passover. Because we are pilgrims. We are travelers. We are strangers upon earth. And then the Lord puts His table in the midst of the congregation. That moment of remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that communion with Him, with His sufferings, and the price that He paid. But we eat it, and we commemorate it, and we celebrate it as a people who are strangers on earth. People who travel to that Jerusalem from above. Oh, how blessed to eat and sit and to drink in communion with this Paschal Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore the Lord instructs us this morning to come to His table in remembrance of Him. Eat and drink, because the journey, for we are journeyers, we stand there with loined girls and a staff in the hand, because the journey would be too great for thee. Amen.